And the next plan is Houston. And do the Steelers have a problem with that Texans defense? Ranked number one in the league, and a young quarterback, C.J. Stroud, who has won playoff games in his first 2 years in the NFL. How many guys have done that? Rookie year, sophomore year, playoff wins in both. Ben, 04 and 05.
Oh, yeah, thanks. He almost didn't do it in 04, but thanks to the good grace of Doug Bryan, he did.
Ben, Stroud.
First 2 years, did Flacco do it? What did they do in 09? Flacco would have been a rookie getting him to the AFC title.
I'm pretty sure Flacco did it.
Yep. Sanchez, because he made it to the AFC title game his first
because
year.
There was a run there early in the Harbaugh-Flacco partnership where they were just winning playoff games.
God, they were going into New England smacking them around. Yeah, Russ did it. Didn't Bo Nix just set the record for regular season wins in his first 2 years?
Yeah, but they lost last year to Buffalo.
No, I know. I'm just saying regular season-wise, he's doing well.
That's five off the top of our heads. That's a pretty nice list, other than Sanchez.
Man, you want to talk about a weird
career. Stroud more like Sanchez, or is he more like the other guys on the
list? What about Purdy? What about the Brock star? I think he got in my ear with that one. I think he's
yes,
right.
Yes, I think you are right.
That's a Jack assist.
You think AI knows? What if I ask AI?
No, because then you got to get the prompt correct, and you got to do all sorts of random crap. No, I think AI is not as good as PI, Pony Intelligence.
Did you see Charles Woodson admitted that he just gave a nonsensical stat or fact on Fox's pregame Sunday that he got from AI? He's like, yeah, I had ChatGPT dig that one
I
up
think
for
that's
me, my
a,
bad.
He should be embarrassed by that. He should be embarrassed. Charles Woodson always struck me as a pretty smart dude, and like he's into like all these random things off the field that I think like suggests that he's like an interesting guy, and he's just piping it into ChatGPT and letting him do the work. Come on. Getting all dumber here collectively because of that crap.
All right, I think we have the list here.
All right. Oh, because ChatGPT spat it back at you. Here we go. Donnie, I can't wait to prove like several of these wrong when it didn't understand the
prompt.
You're
right, it didn't understand the
prompt. Of course!
I'm not even doing it.
Of course!
All right, let's get back to Tomlin here who talked today. He's talking again because the Steelers won one of the greatest games in Acrisure Stadium history, and Steelers, last 30 years, set a timeline and make a list, and that game is going to be on it as far as not just regular season games go, but just games that got played here. And he came out triumphant, and he pounded his chest and blew a kiss to the camera. And now he's on to the playoffs. And he even admitted today, which is very rare of Tomlin, that they did, quote, JV things against the Ravens and said that some of them were strategic mistakes, which that's not on the players. That's on them as a coaching staff. So as far as Tomlin goes addressing the previous game, that actually is pretty big of him because I can't think of many times in 19 years where he has started a press conference. Now, it's easier to do that after a win. They won, so he can...
It's always easy to say you made mistakes after.
Yeah, he can be his own harshest critic because they won and he knows he's not getting pounded for winning a game. If anything, his team got a reprieve from fans all day yesterday on the radio station and all around town. My sober analysis of the situation today, now that we've come up from the euphoria in Nirvana that was
truce
the win
off,
Sunday
right?
night. Yeah, everything's back to normal.
No armistice.
Now that they won Sunday night and we had all of yesterday to enjoy the
chances
win.
Chances of a brouhaha are rising now that the armistice is off.
Tomlin's off the hot seat now. Schefter said this could be a game where the loser thought about his future and weighed his options. Tomlin's off the hot seat. They won. He gets to 10 wins. He gets a division championship. I'll give you a stat that's pony generated and not AI generated. In the last 10 years, you want the number of coaches who have won double digit games, have won a division, and have been dismissed by their football team after that season?
I'm going to guess can I guess the number first?
Go ahead.
Zero.
Zero. No one's done it. Only two coaches in the last decade have been fired after winning seasons. I'm not going to make you guess those. They're kind of archaic, but one of them actually is relevant to Pittsburgh.
There are two coaches who have been fired after having winning seasons?
Yes, that's it, in the last 10 years. Brian Flores in Miami, and then he sued. And the other is shockingly Jim Caldwell in Detroit.
Oh, yeah,
the Lions fired a 9-7 coach. Yeah,
he got a raw deal there. That's actually doing a good job.
Two guys. So the Steelers are not, they preach stability and continuity with coaches more than anybody else. They're not going to be the all-time outlier here and get rid of a guy after winning 10 and winning a division. It's just not going to happen. So he's 100% back next year unless there's something going on with Tomlin or he just has some kind of weird feeling of contentment or peace with his coaching career and wants to step away, which would be a really odd time to do it because he's tied with Knoll for all-time wins and next year is his 20th season if he wants it. And why would he look a gift horse in the mouth with either of those two, like, kind of touchstone, milestone-type endeavors? He wouldn't. I can't fathom that.
And if you ever listen to Mike talk to the point of him just having this weird epiphany, I don't need to do this anymore, my God, does the guy say anything more frequently than, this is basically all I care about and all I'm interested in?
He did an interview with Tony Dungy for Sunday Night Football, and he's more honest with Dungy than he is anybody else, to the point where he's put his foot in his mouth with Dungy before. And it came back to bite him in that playoff loss to Jacksonville, which probably got this whole cycle going of fans really turning on Tomlin when he said, get ready for part three against New England. Then they got their butts kicked.
Yes.
He sounded like a coach who in no way is ready to go do TV like Dungy or resign and take some time off and relax in that interview. He was waxing poetic about how bright the fire burns and how the passion has never been stronger to coach. And I don't think he would give Dungy, of all people, that lip service. He might give Dulac on a Tuesday that, or Brooke Pryor. He's not going to do that to his coaching mentor. The whole point is, sorry, this got a little wordy. The whole point is, Steelers fans have to come to the realization that because they won, he's now here again next year. And I just wonder how that makes fans feel. At 412-928-9370. And I will start and I will let you guys obviously talk because we have 4 hours and you both do a great job.
Well, thank you.
You're
that's
welcome.
That's nice of you. That's kind of you.
I am okay with it as long as they don't get embarrassed Monday night. As long as it doesn't look like the playoff losses during the last 8 years. If it's anything better than that, I'm cool with it. And that would include hard-fought loss. Like, let's say the game plays out like Sunday night's game, except Fairbairn makes the kick instead of Loop missing. And that's how they lose by 1 point. I'm fine with him coming back in 2026. He is coming back, but I will be supportive of the decision to bring him back if it happens that way.
How fine with it will you be if it's all based on the specific nature of one game's outcome? Where a blowout, you're not fine with it. Other than that, you're fine with it. That suggests to me that this really is not a sturdy position he finds himself in your mind. You are allowing 60 minutes of football.
Yes.
Where a lot of random crap can happen.
Yes.
To completely determine your level of okay or your level of peace.
Yeah.
At which you are with his return.
Uh-huh.
I think that just suggests that you are not really feeling that good about the guy.
I'm not feeling great about him. You're right about that.
It tells me that, like, what I have consistently tried to do whenever we have these debates,
but
and
I'm
I know
not feeling
we're gonna have
awful
one today,
about him.
I don't really feel
if it's appreciably a close loss,
different.
I don't feel awful.
I don't feel appreciably different about, like, the job he's doing, though, as a coach and the way he goes about his business. As a matter of fact, maybe this cuts to the heart of it for me. A lot of what we talk about with Mike is lack of results, right? He talked about activity versus productivity today. He was talking about, I think, Benton
Keanu
specifically.
Benton.
He's saying he's productive. He's not just active. A lot of it for me, we talk about productivity, but a lot of it for me is his process and the way he likes to go about building a coaching staff, building a philosophy. My God, he talked about his gunners before he talked about anything else in his press conference today, his punter. Right? The field position component
punting
of play.
Punting and gunning.
Right. Yes, exactly. That should be a fantasy team name next year. Punting and gunning. And I just think that even if
that's bound to barely make the playoffs and lose in the first round.
That is correct. Even if they lose close, win close maybe starts to change a little because, okay, the formula maybe can work again if you've got certain personnel running it the right way. But Like, a lot of this, if they lose and it's matters of degree, still doesn't show me that a guy who is going to be 20 years in on the job next year when he comes back is anything but an old dog who doggedly refuses to learn any new tricks. Now, he talked, like, I think he also alluded today to getting, like, strategically better over the course of a year and everything else. He talks about, like, that evolution that can, that happens for players and coaches. I think my biggest gripe with him, and the reason why if they lose in this first round game, like, I will be pretty frustrated still with the general state of affairs, is we don't ever see, like, their actual approach look like it's changing very much. The calling cards of a Mike Tomlin football team have been the same since, like, time immemorial here. They do it the same way, especially post-Ben, when he could really control what he wanted to control and did not have a quarterback who was going to be pushing back on him a lot. And I don't really think the outcome of one game changes that for me, Pony. I don't.
So you're saying...
Specifically, if it's a loss, I should say.
Well, then it does matter. If they win, it does.
You were talking about, like, the only way... like, you won't be okay with it is if it's a blowout loss. So
yeah,
let's just take it at face value that it's a loss, though. A loss, period. I just don't really divide
you're making,
up by
you're
type.
You're making what sounds like some time is a flat circle argument against him, which I would agree with if they get out to a bad start, look flat as a pancake, trail. The only way the final score looks good is it's completely cosmetic because you kind of fought back, but you never really made it a game and they kept you at arm's length the whole time. If that happens again in this wash, rinse, repeat in the playoffs, I'm going to agree with what you just said. It is time immemorial. Nothing has changed. So he'll be back, but I will be upset about it. If they play a close game and lose, I will feel like two things have changed. They will have won the division, and they will have put up a better fight. And I know that that's not anything you hang a banner for, but that, in my opinion, will be considered progress in a better year, in an improvement on recent years. And that would be enough for me to want a guy back to show what he can do next season.
I think I would be way more encouraged about, like, the trajectory of what Mike Tomlin's trying to do here or what he intends to do. More than like a close playoff loss where you're the home team but you still are the underdog, if, like, they let go of Austin this offseason and there's, like, some obvious, and I know this is how the Steelers just refuse to do things, like, publicly stated change. Hey, we're hiring so-and-so to replace Terrell Austin, and Mike respects and thinks highly enough of this particular person that this guy actually is going to run the defense. It's his defense. I'm stepping back a little bit from that side. And that, I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, because that would be an admission on Mike's part that he wasn't doing a good job. And he's not going to do that.
It would be that, and that would be how it would get framed. If I were going to say it positively about him, though, it would be an admission that he realizes he needs to do, like, that you have to keep changing as a coach. Would you say that Belichick, before we get to Donnie's take on this, just quickly, would you say that post-Brady, Belichick's biggest sin was he tried to keep doing things the Bill Belichick way? I'm going to be domineering over sort of a system quarterback. Mac Jones was like a similar guy to Brady, not that athletic, cerebral, whatever. I think Bill tried to do everything the exact same way he had been doing it, and the major linchpin that had held that all together was gone, and it didn't work.
I thought Bill's biggest problem was maybe along the same lines, was his hubris and feeling like he could be the best GM in the NFL while also being the best head coach.
And I don't think Mike is as ubiquitous on the player acquisition side, because I know those other guys in that room actually have say-so, and Art Rooney has major say-so, unlike maybe the way Robert Kraft would do it. I guess my point is, though, both guys, victims of stubbornness. Mike's just still around. Bill is now coaching at UNC, for God's sake.
Donnie, we know that Tomlin's going to be back now that they won the game on Sunday. Will your feelings on that decision change based on the result Monday night?
I think I feel pretty similarly to what you do, Pony. I mean, if they get blown out again, it's going to be right back to that sour taste, because this is no different than what we've seen for the last 9 seasons now when they get to the playoffs, especially the last few when they've been on the road and it has been an absolute bloodbath. I do get the feel that I will take it better if they actually hang in there, if they look like they have a lot of life, if they look like they could be, you know, in a winning spot if one thing happens to go their way at the end of the game. Because, I mean, let's say that a field goal is made and they lose at the last second. I think you take that better than just typical playoff.
So, Chris,
entrance,
if they lose the game by 1 point, you're going to come on the air Monday and say it's still time to move on from Tomlin, fire him? I know they won't, but they should.
Yeah. That's how I'm going to feel. One point loss.
I don't think I am.
But I just, I've seen it not generate results enough on a frequent enough basis that if he's back, I know there are no wholesale changes into how they do their business. Like, he's never going to just completely gut his staff and say, I need to rethink how I structure all this and who I delegate to and who I don't. And they always obfuscate it as a franchise, so we can always never know for sure. If they lose by 1 point, it doesn't really change my mind on that front. It just, like, it's more the same. How many years have they won a playoff game in his 19 years? They've won a playoff game four times. They've won 8 total playoff games. That's less than one every 2 years. I know if we were in Las Vegas or Cleveland, people would be saying we'd sign in blood for that. We're not. And we're at a place, more to the point, where there isn't just tradition, but, like, where the people who run the team talk about it like that shouldn't be the standard. Still. So why would I be happy with a 1 point loss? You're still ending up this season the same place, basically, that you ended up last season, just by a different point spread.
412-928-9370. I was about to say something, but I'm going to bite my tongue because I want to get to our listeners. Let's start with Ike in Wilkinsburg. Hello, Ike.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got to give you a little hard time, man. It's like, I don't know. I understand the last game was really fun and emotional, and we got into the playoffs, but you've been ragging on Tomlin all year, and now you're like, if they lose by a little bit, it's okay. I'm with Malzi and the Donnie, man. I mean,
no, Donnie agrees with me.
On Pony's side of it.
Sorry, Ike.
Sorry.
It's 2-1 here, so you even things up with Malzi.
It's a handicap match right now, thank you for joining me as my tag team partner.
That's good, man. It's all right. A little rare democracy in here. It's a good thing. I don't know. I mean, I still think if you look at a lot of the way that last game was managed, I kind of give a lot of the credit to Rodgers in terms of
Rodgers is here because of Mike.
Okay, sure, but it still doesn't make a difference that Mike depends on a quarterback who can fashion his own drives at the end of games or in clutch time and is not a coach who creates an offense around any player or half-decent players on his team to succeed, besides having a semi-decent defense and running the ball and trying to contain time of possession. I would argue that if his defense didn't give up so much splash plays in that game, we would have lost to the Ravens, or at least lost the time of possession.
Sure,
because that's kind of what kept it out of their hands.
But I don't see how Tomlin handing over the offense to Aaron Rodgers is anything but a good thing, and you're trying to twist it as a negative against him in this argument.
I agree that is the right thing to do if you have that player, but...
And he's here because of Mike.
Sure, yeah, but I'm just saying, we watched this happen for 10 years here where you need a coach to come in and create a full four-quarter game plan in a playoff game, like the Jaguars game. Nothing came alive until the second half. That was all Ben. Is Ben here because of Mike? Like, I don't know.
No, he's not.
Not really.
He's not. I would say that he's not here because of Mike. He predated Mike. Exactly.
And yes. We look completely lost and pedestrian on offense without a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback.
I don't know. I'm actually going to say this and you can try to disagree with it all you want, but just based on the 2 minutes you've been on the air, it sounds like you don't actually derive much satisfaction or feel like it was much of an accomplishment to beat Baltimore on Sunday.
I think that given the amount of scoring opportunities we fashioned for ourselves and I just look at the first half of that game.
Okay,
it looked like
so the answer is you don't. I mean, if you can't come out and say yes, it sounds like you really are kind of like stuck in the middle on whether or not that was some kind of glorious victory or not. And if that's how some fans feel, I understand why they would be disagreeable with me to start the show. I'm choosing to put stock in that game Sunday night. You had to call a truce
yesterday on the air, in part because I agreed with this. I think it was the time to celebrate a really fun win over a team we love to see get the knife twisted on them. But you had to do that in part because you knew innately that a lot of people feel the way he does. And I kind of do as well. What if they lose 16-6 to what I think is probably the best defense in the league? They just don't get anything going. Their defense does a pretty good job, but the game is like them getting put in a vice.
If they're never competitive, then I'll be pissed off. And if you're saying it's 16-6 where it feels like you're actually trailing by 30
like that
points,
Chargers-Broncos
you could play four games and not score 17,
yeah, we've seen
then I will not feel good about it. No.
Because I think that's like a distinct possibility.
They
are playing, by the way, in Mike's version of events, they are playing the team he would love to be. Think about how he described.
He sounded that way today.
Think about
when
how he described the Texans. They protect the ball better than any team on earth. They take it away, third best on earth. They what else? Oh, he said their defense doesn't have to play tricks on you basically because they're so violent and so good.
Yeah,
he is playing the mirror image of what he would love the Steelers to be again.
The we'll get to calls on the other side. The last point I'll make about, you know, fans wanting Tomlin fired regardless of how they lose the game Monday night is one of the things we've brought up is like the Eagles and other organizations that have moved on from coaches and it's paid off. They haven't been loyal. They've demanded results and they've demanded like not just mediocre, slightly better than average things. But if the Steelers were to fire Tomlin after this, we just went over the numbers. It would be something that would be one of a kind. Like, based on what I said, all other 31 teams would keep Tomlin after this season, Chris. No one has fired a coach after winning a division with double-digit games.
I'm aware that they
would.
Not
the Eagles, not the Chiefs, not and the Ravens,
none of those teams. How many teams have stuck by a coach? Granted, he hasn't had a losing season. Tell me if you've heard that one before. How many teams have stuck by a coach with this many years between playoff victories?
Very few. You can count them on one hand. Yeah. New Orleans and Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And one of those two teams we routinely look at as one of the like most poorly run organizations in sports.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Yeah, I'm going to admit, if it looks like that on Monday, I'm going to come on the air Tuesday morning and say, or Tuesday afternoon, maybe I will charge in here Tuesday morning and see if I can get airtime with the morning guys or midday guys and say, it's time. Get them out of here.
I think it's interesting that like very few people that at least hit us up on YouTube or whatever believe for one second that you are as complacent is not the right word, that you're as sanguine about Mike Tomlin right now for next year, provided he doesn't get his doors blown off as you claim to be. People just don't believe you.
Really?
Yeah. Like there are a lot of people just basically chiming in with the sentiment that like if X, Y, or Z happens a certain way, Pony is going to be out here breathing fire. I will say this much, and you can trace it back to Mike since that's what we're talking about. You know why I don't think they're actually going to be in a situation like that against Houston? Couple things. One, the Texans' strength is on defense. They really are like what Mike wants to be. Young, ridiculously good defense. Quarterback who can make plays but really doesn't make a ton of mistakes. If they ran the ball better, which they don't, they're a bad running team, all things considered, even though he couldn't wait to talk about their backs. Mike would truly love them.
They don't fumble.
Yeah, they don't. Well, they don't put the ball in the turf. That's right. They're a team that wins with defense. Stroud is not Jackson as far as how he plays. There is no Derrick Henry there, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't think that's going to happen for that reason. I also don't think it's going to happen because I am of the opinion that part of the reason last year's team cratered was because I think a lot of those guys genuinely could not stand Russell Wilson. Would you agree with that?
Especially the offensive coordinator.
There was no capacity to like rally behind the most important position on the team because most people are like, for the love of God, dude, would you just shut up? Like him and Hayward having that exchange after the Bengals game where Hayward looks like he wants to vomit pea soup all over him and Russ is sitting there completely oblivious tells me a lot. And I do think, just to finish the point, I do think these guys genuinely believe in and respect Rodgers even though he's often caught on camera like dog cussing one of them because they ran the wrong route. I think he commands respect from these guys. And so I do think that there's much less of a chance that they just come out and lay a complete egg.
I put value in what they did Sunday night. And if I just turn around and say, regardless of how the game goes Monday, as long as they lose, Tomlin should be fired, then what good was Sunday night's game? It will have meant nothing. Like, I'm attaching some meaning to Sunday night's win. It's one of the greatest home games in Steelers history. To me, it can't just be, well, you avoided the electric chair for 7 days unless things go really, really, really crappy against Houston. That's really the way you give it back.
What you're legitimately saying is it's as close to a real playoff game as a game can be in the regular season, and so you're giving it like at least partial credit as being a playoff win. That's what you're saying. which isn't wrong. I mean, it's there are very few instances in NFL history. We had another one, obviously, with sort of with Panthers-Bucks, although not really, should have been, where it was loser goes home in the regular season, winner goes to the playoffs. Like, yeah, they won like two-thirds of a playoff game.
Here is Don on the fan. Hello, Don.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
How we doing?
Good, Don. This is when you usually talk and give your opinion on something that we're talking about.
Well, I don't care what they do. Mediocre Mike needs to go.
Okay, they win the Super Bowl. He's mediocre Mike.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, you said you said I don't care what they do. I gave you something they could do, albeit far fetched, and you already changed your mind.
Well, no. If they win the Super Bowl, I don't expect much out of them next year because who's he going to have a quarterback? We're going to play the same conservative game. We're not allowed to throw the ball between the hash
marks. If they won the Super Bowl, you would say, I don't expect anything out of them next year because they're going to revert to their old ways. That would literally be your opinion on a Super Bowl victory.
Yes. I think Mike Tomlin should have been gone 10 years ago.
Thank you. You must be great at holiday parties and Super Bowl parties.
He's not too far off of where you were with Mike. I think you wanted him gone 8 years ago.
Okay, they win. You've got the noisemakers and the confetti, and you're popping champagne. And Don raises his hand and says, guys, can we cool out for a second here? You know things are going to suck next year. They're going to go back to their old ways and start playing conservative
I don't think he's just one man out there. I don't think there's just a singular Don who feels that way. I think there are a lot of people who actually would say...
Yes, but that doesn't mean groupthink is necessarily right. People would criticize him after a Super Bowl win. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard on this radio station.
If Mike... To play
and I
this
said
out,
Kenny Pickett was going to be Joe Burrow 2.0, which was really bad.
If Mike won the Super Bowl... but did it in a way where, like, he made a pretty obviously bad coaching decision, like a go for it or not or whatever,
yeah,
and they managed to surmount it, we would get a call that following Monday morning, this glorious Super Bowl Monday.
No, we would not.
And somebody would say, guys, it's great, Stairway to Seven, but can you believe that he called timeout with five minutes to go?
People would say that, like, with love in their voice. They would not say it in a derogatory way.
I disagree with that. I'm not condoning it. I disagree, though, that there would be no people out there saying it with a laugh in their voice.
Joe is in Cannonsburg. Hello, Joe. Joe?
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the radio, Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment and say, I think Mike Tomlin was going to be there regardless, win or loss, the other night.
Maybe.
It was a great game.
Maybe.
I just don't see them making a change. They haven't done it in 50-plus years. If you don't retire from the Steelers as a coach, you're going to be there till, whenever. But anyway, I just wanted to comment. It was a great game the other night. I don't want to take anything away from either team.
But you're about to.
I just think that the Steelers, they have to tighten up things. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I just don't think the Steelers are going to be able to score a touchdown, which is going to create a loss.
All right, so if they scored 6 points and lost by 10, if you were Art Rooney, would you fire Tomlin after that?
No.
Okay, thank you. I kind of wasn't expecting that answer.
At the end there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was building towards a yes. I mean, am I crazy here? Am I going too esoteric or too, like, in the weeds here? My main issue with Mike has been this way for a while, and this is why one game wouldn't change it. I do think they need a wholesale just reevaluation of what does their coaching staff look like every year? How does he philosophize about, like, what good offense is versus what bad offense is and what matters and doesn't matter?
Fair
and
enough.
None of those changes ever seem imminent or even possible.
But one game would change things, as in one more game for you than for me. If they were to beat Houston, you would not want Mike fired after losing a divisional round playoff game. You would not.
It would be at least proof of concept that somehow, even if it's only a one-off for 60 minutes, his way of doing things beat a team whose both personnel and way of doing things, I think, is better than his.
Yes, for most of this year, they've won 9 in a row, and they've won playoff games the last 2 years.
The sort of scary thing is this. Because of how the Texans play and because of the fact that they generally are not built to run away from a team offensively, I can squint and see them beating them. And then all you need is Jacksonville winning their game, and you need You need chalk to hold here, Pony, and guess who the Steelers get? The other team in the AFC that is by far the closest to the Broncos stylistically.
Yeah.
And guess what? You know who would love to roll around in the slop in Denver? Make it a muddy mess of a game, metaphorically? Mike.
Yeah, I think if somehow it were to be this Cinderella run that got them to the AFC Championship game and they beat Houston and Denver, I would not really be in the mood to hear people say, yeah, but they beat Houston and Denver to get here and try to cheapen the AFC Championship game run because they played lesser offensive teams.
If they beat like Houston and then somehow beat Jacksonville or beat Buffalo, I would be impressed. Because I think those are probably the two best teams in the AFC. And they're playing in what amounts to a de facto eliminator.
I would be impressed if they won.
I'll be impressed
Monday
if they beat Houston.
It.
Yeah, because I still don't think they're going to win. But yes, I would be somewhat impressed. But I'd be like, I'd much more like reconsidering my own priors if they beat one of the teams I just mentioned.
Mark is on the fan. Hello, Mark.
Gentlemen, first off, Happy New Year. I wanted to call in yesterday.
You know, Larry David thinks that you can't say Happy New Year after January 3rd. Are you aware of that? That it becomes socially unacceptable to continue wishing a Happy New Year this late into the year?
I wasn't too familiar with Larry David's thoughts, but thank you for bringing me up to speed, gentlemen. The point is, this is truly all for nothing, barring a Super Bowl victory. That's the only way you keep Tomlin. We were in a situation Sunday. We're fighting for our lives and begging the football gods for that kick.
Mark, if they got to the Super
wide right.
Mark, if they got to the Super Bowl and Seattle's kicker Myers hit a 59-yarder to win by a point, after the Steelers play this unbelievable instant classic Super Bowl, and they lose on a 59-yard field goal at the gun.
He'd be the first NFL head coach in the history of the game to get fired after losing a championship
game. To be very
game.
Clear here, you would want him fired.
I can't support mediocrity any longer.
It's not
That's
mediocrity.
What we're doing here, guys.
They would be the
reigning,
Super Bowl.
They would be the
it's
reigning
not
AFC
mediocrity.
Champions.
But what does that get us long term?
Who cares? It's a trip to
what are
the
we
Super
doing?
Bowl.
Mark, at some
if you don't
Mark,
win the big dance, what are we doing? Good.
So wait a minute. That means 31 teams every year have like there's nothing to take out of all of it. Like it's just if you don't win the Super Bowl every year, there's nothing to be gained.
So the Steelers right now, so like one team's going to win the Super Bowl, and then all the other 31 teams have the same season. The Steelers have had the same year as the Raiders, Jets, and Browns.
We're getting behind the fact of just, hey, we made it to a playoff again. We might get blown out on Monday night. Maybe we beat Houston, which I think is a great match for us. But we're okay
But it doesn't
with that.
Matter because
That's
they
insane.
Need to win the Super Bowl for this to mean jack squat.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Well, I do think there's something, and I've theorized this for a very long time. This is one of my pet takes. I actually think for a ton of people who listen to what we do and who follow sports these days, I actually think a lot of it is games are secondary. I think people now love to play like strategist and GM, and I get why. It's fun to have those discussions about who would fit.
Yeah, everyone's
but
a fantasy football
but
guy.
It's an endless carousel of just really wanting to play that. Did you hear what he said in the middle of that? What does winning the AFC and coming one play away from the Super Bowl really do for us? Because all it is about how are you set up for next year. It's way more fun to think about which draft picks could they take that I personally think would make them a much better team. Then guess what? When you get to next year, it becomes about the following year's draft.
Offense. I think the strength of the pack is the pack. I think they've displayed that in a lot of ways over the course of the journey. Certainly, they went through an adjustment at the early stages of the season playing without Joe Mixon, but they've certainly found a nice division of labor in Woody Marks and Mr. Chubb. Those guys have done an awesome job in terms of dividing the labor up and running the ball for those guys. As I mentioned, the ball security is top tier. Neither one of those guys or no one in their backfield has put the ball on the ground this season. They got some quality young eligibles in Higgins and Noel from Iowa State. They've done a nice job of growing and evolving over the course of the season. They're certainly assets to their passing game and good supplements to Nico Collins. Collins is a big-time one-on-one playmaker. He's oftentimes on the backside of formations. You get in single high defensive structure. He's in one-on-ones with corners, and he wins a lot of them.
Listen to us, the PM Team On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, at 2:46. It's our PM Team Tomism of the Week. Time to check out 9 Yards Golf Lounge, now open at the Block Northway in Ross Township. You got two in there. The strength of the pack is the pack. That's not unique to Tomlin. That's a way of saying that either a team or a unit is not very good. So who are their good players? Well, they don't really have good players. The sum is greater than the parts. They get more out of them than they should.
Is that the football equivalent of committing the sin of calling a woman cute?
Or a guy plays hard.
Oh, plays hard.
Yeah. He works hard.
I've heard he has an office with the team, with the coaches, because he's studying so hard.
I mean, that was 60 seconds. No mention of C.J. Stroud in there. Just a complete afterthought. More on him later, what Tomlin said, which was really interesting. And he brought back Mr. Chubb. He dusted off the Mr. moniker. I don't think we've heard that all year. That used to be Tomlin's unique way of... That's like...
That was his Monsignor.
Yes.
If he calls a guy Mr., that basically is his equivalent of Monsignor.
That was his way of saying you're elite. You're the best at what you do. You're a Mr.
Mr. Chubb, unfortunately.
Mr. Jackson.
Post-knee
Mr.
injury.
Chubb. Mr. Chase.
Is more of a situational back. Mr. Chase. Mr. Burrow?
Maybe.
I don't know if he ever... Maybe he said Mr. Garrett, but I think the way he reacted to a question about Mr. Garrett...
Oh, I can't wait to get to that later.
He might not have ever said that.
Jack tells me he goes Mr. Higgins for T. Higgins.
I thought he just called him, he's a big goon. Yeah, he loves to call T. Higgins a goon and say he's like somebody, implies that he's somebody you want to cross the street to avoid. Or a hockey, he's the Eric Goddard of wide receivers.
Hearing Tomlin talk there just gave me a great idea for a topic this week that I want to get to with you guys. But I don't want to waste it here because we've got...
Do you have to write that down, or once you think of it, is it in your brain?
No, it's stored away. I just got to figure out what day and what time to do it.
Donnie, he just closes that vault door, spins the wheel, and it's gone.
Here is one of my favorites, Emmanuel in Carnegie. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello, guys. I'm not going to move the goalposts. The goal coming into this year was to win a playoff game. Doesn't matter if we lose by one or lose by 30. That's not going to change. We have to win a playoff game, and that be that. Especially now, the fact that we won a division, we'll be hosting a home game, and the level of difficulty is at an all-time low in the last 3 or 4 years, the opponents that we're facing in the playoffs.
I have said all of those things in the past. However, winning a division and winning double-digit games and winning it the way that they did on Sunday night, that just doesn't feel like something that you should fire a head coach for.
Wait a minute. Emmanuel, this is why you're one of our favorites. You're not just Pony's favorite. I enjoy your calls. You just jog something in my brain, and I'm going to make the argument here that I think is pretty ironclad in your favor. You just said winning double digits and winning a division, Pony, and how you won the division matters. If they had just beaten the Browns and then gotten to rest players and lost to the Ravens and done what they should have done, they would have won double digits and won the division.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, no one would be saying it's acceptable if you lose to Houston. They'd all be saying win a playoff game. The only reason the only reason he's getting sort of a pass is because his own team's struggles and inability to close the deal in week 17 necessitated what became an all-time classic in week 18.
True.
Yes, that's my argument. I'm not going to support it anymore.
Okay,
it's right there.
Yes, it is. But then the
His own failure in week 17 helped him set up a week 18 that's now gotten him grace.
Right, but then the classic game happened. I just don't think you can fire a coach after a classic game unless he really screws the pooch next week.
To Emmanuel's point of
he's
overall...
He's really got to blow it.
To Emmanuel's point of, I'm not moving the goalposts. It was a playoff win was the goal. That is a good point to make in the context of how I just brought up how the season ended. He goes 10-7, or maybe if Baltimore's got nothing to play for, they play Snoop Huntley and Mason Rudolph balls out. He goes 11-6 and runs away with the division.
Yep.
We are not talking about this in the context of he can have a moral victory against Houston if he keeps it tight and close
Chris,
and everything
he's
else.
Not like to, he would not be getting an ultimate seal of approval or vote of confidence from me. He just wouldn't lose his job. He would survive for an extra year. Again, if I were in charge, which I'm not, that's how I would view this year. Better, still not good enough, because it's better than last year. I'm not going to fire you. Like, if your boss told you that, you're happy that you're still going to get a check every 2 weeks, but you're not exactly like feeling like you're on easy street. In that situation,
you just
barely got by, which is how I would look at winning a division, winning a classic game, and winning double-digit games, even if they lost a close one to Houston. Here's Ron in Penn Township. Hello, Ron.
Hey, guys. Hey, to Emmanuel's point, There's no, you know what? I'm gonna skip it. I got some other ones. First of all, the other game was great. We beat the Stains, the original Stains. Anytime you do that, it's a win. It's a great feeling. Tomlin secured his job.
Wait, to be clear, you consider a win over the Ravens a win over the real Cleveland Browns?
I mean, it is what it is. They moved out of the town.
No, I kind of respect so, that level of like old school mentality. And keep going. I don't mean to derail you here,
but you didn't.
So the other thing was, I think I said Tomlin secured his job because of that win, and he won the NFC or AFC North. There's no way Rooney's gonna, you know, have the Irish stew to fire him.
We all agree with that. Yep. We started by saying that. That was the preface for all of this. We know that his job is secure now, but if you were running the team, would he need to win Monday to save his job? And I'm saying no, he would just have to not get blown out in the game.
Man, if he gets blown out, he will still be here.
Did I not just say that? Did I not just say that 2 seconds ago?
Do people not realize that we're asking the question or having the argument and discussion, should that be the standard? We all know he's going,
right.
Going to and should are the two things here. And going to, we know, is happening. It's whether or not it should happen. I respect that. Hold on, by the way. He says when it's a win over the Stains, it's a win over the real Browns. Does that mean that the real Browns have a couple Super Bowl titles in 2000 and 2012? If you're going to call it a win over the Browns, then Cleveland has actually won 2 Super Bowls.
No, the Browns franchise has, but not the city. You know, it's not like Baltimore won championships,
I mean, right?
After the Colts left.
I do think it's a very, like the Colts Super Bowl is actually Baltimore's.